Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes in life, there can be some awkward times and moments. There can be hard conversation, tough exchanges, and embittered controversy. Take the situation that Jesus finds himself in our gospel text this morning. He is invited to a party and starts a controversy when he heals a man. He then critiques the practices of the other guests and then gives a suggestion to the host himself. Really talk about a potentially awkward evening. And today we'll focus on the beginning of our text, verses 1 to 6, where Jesus addresses the Pharisees for lack of love and misunderstanding of the Sabbath. For the Pharisees love only themselves, but Jesus loves all whom he sees. And so Luke begins by telling us that Jesus is invited to a Pharisee's house, a ruler of the Pharisees, and this would have been a prominent person, and this man would have been high up since the Jews really had no regular rulers. And this invitation would be an honor and would have some pretty important guests. This meal is really quite an ordeal. And on top of it, this meal is on the Sabbath day, the day of rest. Jews in Jesus' time held to a rigid and a strict interpretation of the Sabbath, allowing no work whatsoever. And they even had rules for cooking on the Sabbath and even heating up meals. They allowed no cooking to be done whatsoever, and the food that was used had to be made the day before on Friday. And adding to that, they even had rules on how you could heat food and keep it warm. If the food had to be kept hot, it had to be kept in such a way that it wasn't cooked anymore, since that would technically be work. It was okay to keep food in clothes with fruit and pigeon's feathers and with flax, which is used to create linens, but anything else would be Sabbath breaking. Even keeping it over a fire was not allowed. They had a very strict interpretation of the Sabbath. And as Jesus is invited to this dinner, Luke tells us that the guests are watching him carefully. The word for watch carefully literally means to watch maliciously and lurkingly. This is not an innocent, careful watch that we might do when babysitting a child or maybe when we walk our dog by a busy road. In fact, it's quite the opposite of that. This is a watching with evil intent. They're out to get him. They're out for blood. They're ready to pounce upon him for a misspoken word or a misstatement. They're looking to accuse him and get him in trouble. They're looking to have this situation be used for political gain against him. Sounds like a pleasant party, doesn't it? And then surprisingly, maybe not surprisingly, a man with dropsy appears before Jesus. Dropsy is the abnormal swelling of the body when it retains water. And so this poor man comes before Jesus in pain with red, bulging, and swollen limbs. And how do the Pharisees respond to this? Certainly they would have the man sit down and pull up a chair. Certainly they would help assist him and bring him forward. Certainly they would show some compassion, at least a sliver, right? They teach and preach this after all, but they don't. They do nothing. They sit in silence. They offer this poor man no help, no aid. They see him as a pawn to trap Jesus and treat him and such. They didn't see a person they loved, cared for, or would sacrifice for. They show no love or compassion whatsoever. And with the Pharisees sitting in silence, and as the man comes before Jesus, Luke tells us that our Lord responds. But what does he respond to? The Pharisees don't say anything. The man says nothing. So what is Jesus addressing? He's addressing the hearts and minds of the Pharisees. He answers the Pharisees as if these things were spoken aloud. And so he asks, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And this question implies a positive answer. You would expect them to say, yes, yes, Lord, it is okay to heal on the Sabbath day. And so the Pharisees have an opportunity to answer and assess this question. How will they answer? What will they say? Prior encounters seem to suggest no. They would say, no, it's not lawful. Back in chapter 13, a woman with a disabling spirit for over 18 years approaches Jesus in a synagogue on the Sabbath day. And because of this spirit, she was bent over and could not stand straight. And when Jesus heals her, the synagogue leader is angry and says, there are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. In other words, that's not allowed. In chapter 6, the Pharisees were scandalized when Jesus' disciples picked grain to avoid starving. And they were outraged to the point of killing Jesus, planning to kill him when he healed a man with a withered hand. All of this took place on a Sabbath. The Pharisees considered all of this work and unlawful. But Jesus didn't, though. He taught the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Works of love and mercy are certainly allowed on the Sabbath. And this week I heard a modern-day equivalent that really sums up and depicts these two views. A friend of mine was getting a coffee at Starbucks, and when she went up to the cashier told her the person in front of her had paid for her drink. And wanting to do that for the person behind her to repay that same kindness, she offered to do the same. However, the cashier told her, ma'am, you can't do that. You are already the sixth person this has happened to, and we can't do it anymore after six people. So I'm sorry, you can't pay for her drink. I guess six is the limit. My friend was amazed that they put a limit on kindness and love. And that's what really happens here. To the Pharisees, a rigid interpretation of the Sabbath triumphs over all. There's a limit to mercy and kindness that can be done on this day. It doesn't matter what it is to them, but their view really lacks love and compassion. It reeks of hypocrisy. They lacked love for that man with dropsy. They lack love for others. So what was their answer? Again, silence, which really says all that you need to know. And so Jesus invites the man forward and he heals him and sends him on his way. But he's not done yet. He's going to expose their hypocrisy and show their lack of love and understanding. And so instead of using a complete stranger this time, he hits closer to the heart. He uses someone they love. He uses something they like. In Israel, open wells would be a very common thing. They were not always how we might picture wells, with circles of stone layered on top of each other, with or made out of wood with a roof on top. Instead, they were sometimes just big, deep holes in the ground. And as a result, it wouldn't be uncommon for people to fall into these things. And so Jesus poses this question. He says, if your son fell in a well on the Sabbath day, would you not immediately help them? Would they really leave their child sitting in a pool of deep water for 24 hours, leaving him to potentially die? No, not at all. Of course not. And neither would we. We would do the same for a loved one. We would certainly help one we love, and they would too. It doesn't matter if it was the Sabbath. But he even takes it another step forward. He says, if your ox fell in a well on the Sabbath day, would you not immediately help it as well? In a farming culture, an ox would be very valuable. They would plow fields, help with the harvest, and be an assist for transportation. If your ox was stuck, would you leave it in there? No, right? And we would do the same today with our pets. We would never leave a cat or dog in danger, and the Pharisees wouldn't do that either. The law permitted help even for animals on the Sabbath day. And so how do the Pharisees respond to this? The response is best demonstrated from one of my favorite movies, Monsters, Inc. There's a scene in the movie where Mike is ready to start his weekend and go on his date But he's confronted by Roz, the grouchy paperwork lady. And so she asks Mike if his paperwork was done and filed correctly, to which he stands there in stunned silence. He totally forgot. He forgot to do it, but he can't miss this date. And so he's speechless. And Roz says, "Your stunned silence is very reassuring." The stunned silence of the Pharisees says it all here. He's right. His question points out their hypocrisy. They would act for someone or something they love. And Martin Luther explains their error well when he says, "For to sanctify the Sabbath means to hear God's word and help our neighbor whenever possible. For God does not want the Sabbath kept so holy that we should, on account of that, leave and forsake our neighbor in his trouble." The Pharisees' strict interpretation prevented them from showing the basic actions of love and care. Simply put, they lacked love for their neighbor. The actions of the Pharisees can seem so cold to us, but perhaps maybe it's because we don't really translate their actions to our lives. Speaking about the Sabbath to those who don't have a Sabbath can be a difficult translation. Maybe the better question to ask is this: do we see those who need help as those that we love? That strikes closer to the target, doesn't it? The Pharisees could care less about the man in our text. How do we see those around us? When we see those around us with problems and difficulties, do we feel annoyance and emotional tiredness, maybe even indifference? Do we grow weary of the help and assistance that we give to others, especially those who tell us their problems but never take our advice? Do we find ourselves trying to rationalize why we might not help someone when really the issue is a lack of love? In our text, Jesus slices through the Pharisees' deception and our own, and he really points to the true problem, a lack of love. When the Pharisees saw their son, their ox, they acted. If it were our ox, our loved one, we won't see a problem. We see a person we love and act. But fortunately, though, Jesus sees someone he loves. He must immediately act and show this love. Jesus heals the man in our text and sends him on his way. He does not wait and doesn't delay. He acts because he loves. And Jesus sees another person that he loves. You, me. Jesus sees us and acts. He does not delay in helping us. He does not delay in restoring us. He doesn't delay in forgiving us or showing us his grace. He doesn't put off our needs, our pain, our problems into a later date. And this is because he acts out of love and on our behalf. In love, he humbled himself to the point of death, death on a cross to save you and me, and rose again so we might never die. He sees you and loves. He sees you and acts. He sees you and works in you too. He works in us to share his love with others and shows it through you. He does it by the service we give, the hand we offer, the ear we give. He does it through words of forgiveness that we can share and the love that he works in us. The Pharisees might only love themselves, but thank goodness Jesus loves you. In his name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard our hearts and minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.